in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Successful Living. Successful Living is a daily broadcast ministry of Cathedral of Life in Canton, Ohio, where your host, Pastor Danny Gamble, brings to you insightful wisdom and practical truths from the Word of God that you can apply to your everyday life. Now let me introduce to you your host and our senior pastor, Pastor Dana Gamble.
This is one of those messages you want to take notes for somebody else, because somebody you know is kind of may need this. I guarantee you nobody in this room ever has to deal with what I'm about to deal with. So it's just, I mean, like people that are, you know, other kinds of people, people out there. But tonight I want to talk to you on the subject of crisis. And I want to talk to you about crisis that happens as a result sometimes of transition in our life. We go through all kinds of transition. And this is a very transitional society that we live in. People are moving. Things are shifting. Technology is shifting faster than ever before. As soon as you buy, for example, I just got this not so long ago, this iPad. It was given to me by one of the boards that I sat on, which I'm so thankful for, because I get to use it for lots of other purposes as well. But the reason they gave it to me is they no longer wanted to give, and which I'm also thankful for, they no longer wanted to give out all the paper. They didn't want to have to deal with paper. So a lot of the information they would give us in board meetings would be a stack of papers this thick, which I never knew what to do with anyway. I mean, you can only file so much stuff, right? You know, after a while, it gets kind of crazy with stuff. So one of the boards in the city that I sit on, they said, we don't want to have to deal with paper anymore. So they send us all of the financials, all the balance sheets, all of the agendas, the reports, everything comes online. And so I just have to remember before I go to download all that information so that I can get to the meeting, because there's no paperwork anymore. But what's so cool is that I now have this, but I only got it like 8-9 months ago. And when I got it, what's funny is within a month or two of getting it, the new iPad came out. You know, so the third level of iPad, you know, came out. It's like as soon as you get something, it's like it's already, there's something new out. There's already something that's extra, you know. I mean, and what's funny about it is we're constantly learning, constantly in flux, constantly in transition. We're transitioning, you know, in every arena of life right now. Laws are being made that people in, you know, even in the court system, laws are coming down faster on state level and federal level, where they're just trying to figure out, wait a minute, what laws, you know, people in business, in society, that, you know, especially people that are dealing like accountants and people that are dealing with the IRS and this sort of thing, things are changing and shifting so quickly. We live in a world that is dynamic. I mean, it is constantly in flux. And so because of transition, we sometimes have some serious crisis. And what's interesting is that, watch this, people have gone through, and I'm not making a judgment about what people have gone through, because so many of us have gone through it. But the reality is that we've done everything we can do to change. I mean, we've changed the color of our hair 2 or 3 times. We've changed our teeth so they look better. We've changed, you know, we've been on a lot of diets, and we've changed back and forth and back and forth. You know, we've been in relationships and out of relationships. We've changed jobs. I know people who've moved away only to move back. And they moved back because things were not as good as they thought they were going to be where they were going. And so they moved back. And after moving back, they decided maybe there was a better place to go, so they moved again. But they found that when they moved, they found themselves there too. And so then they moved back, and they've moved here and moved there and moved back and came here and gone there and gone. And so we live in a very transitional society. People are shifting, moving all over the place. There is change happening even now. Things that we don't even realize are happening around us right now. And so because of that, it brings us to sometimes a place of crisis. And David often found himself in places of crisis. So I want to look at... Let's look at 1 Samuel 30. Let's look at 1 Samuel 30. And then I'm going to give you just a myriad of principles that I feel like will be helpful. 1 Samuel 30, and we'll look at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Ever been there? David's two wives were taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. These are the guys he had just been in battle with. These are his battle warrior buddies. They were so excited. They have just come from winning major battles, beating Philistines, winning. They had come out of winning into finding that all they were fighting for had been lost. Have you ever come to a place where all you've been fighting for the whole time you're fighting only to come home and find out that you've lost the battle on some level, either internally or externally, in your home or in your family, or on some other level? You come back home and you think, man, I can't believe that after all this fighting, after all of this warfare, after all this feeling like I've pressed through, all of this spiritual warfare, moving to other levels in God, fresh new anointings, walking in a power gift, seeing God operate in the miraculous, touching somebody's life on the job, feeling so good about it. I mean, I remember one time I was so excited. Man, we had a powerful service on a Sunday morning. I was just, man, everybody had fallen out under the power. The glory of God had fallen. People were weeping and crying everywhere. A new family walks up to me and they're like, Pastor, this is our first Sunday here. We love this church. God is so good. This is so wonderful. I just love being here. We're going to be here forever. We've never been in a place like this. Man, it's just wonderful. And I'm like, oh God, let it be true. Let it be true. And then I find out in staff meeting a few days later that they went up to pick up their child and another child had bit their child. And they said, we're never coming back here again. And you're like, ah, are you kidding me? Oh man, the enemy is so sly. Watch how he operates. I mean, everything was going just fine until one thing, you know, and here's where David is. David comes back from the battle having won, but battle fatigued. He's weakened from battle. He's battle fatigued. He's high on the inside. He's got adrenaline highs from warfare, but he's come out of that with just absolute fatigue. He's coming home thinking, man, I'm going to come home. My family, they're going to make me my favorite meal. I'm going to bring home and show them what we won in the battle. We're going to bring home the spoils of war, and we're going to show them what it was worth fighting for, and we're going to bless them. I can't wait to see my little boy. I can't wait to see my daughter. I can't wait to hold him in my arms. This is so wonderful. Life is so good. I can't wait for this. And they come out of a situation where their adrenaline has been very high. You ever been in a place where your adrenaline's very high and then all of a sudden it's just like whew, drops? I mean, it's like eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos and feeling really good and then all of a sudden it dropping. Boom. It's like the first time I ever had an espresso. Man, I love that. I had a cappuccino espresso. I'd never had one before. Some of you heard me tell about this. I was on a cruise. I'd never seen it before. I come walking along, and they've got cappuccinos. Man, I've never even had one before. And I walk along. And I said, well, "What's this? These are cappuccinos." And what had happened? My whole family was sleeping. They were kind of woozy from the ship, and it was the first night, and they all went to bed. And you know, it's like still like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I thought, man, I got to do something. I walk along. I said, "What's this?" They said, "This is a cappuccino bar." I said, "Not alcoholic, right?" They said, "No, this isn't alcoholic." I said, "What is it?" They said, "Well," I said, "I don't drink coffee. I never drink coffee. I drink tea, but I don't drink coffee." I said, "But is it sweet?" They said, "Oh yeah." I said, because I don't like that bitter aftertaste. They said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, we'll make you a caramel macchiato, which back in those days, I didn't even know what that was. I'm like, caramel macchiato, that sounds like heaven. Hallelujah. I said, tell you what. I said, well, how do you do it? She said, well, we take a shot of caramel and we put it in there and we mix it up. I said, I tell you what, you put 3 shots of that caramel in there. She said, do you want espresso? Like I said, yeah, put 2 or 3 shots of that in there too. I had no idea. Never had it before. And so I'm doing this whole thing up, and I drank it like really fast. Just go. And I was like, woo, wow. Man, I hadn't felt so good in all my life. I was just like, da, 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 da. I come running back to the room, and I'm like to the kids and the family. I said, hey, let's do something. They're like, get out of here. We're tired. I'm like, come on. I'm just like, come on, come on. You know, and I get out in the hallway, and I'm like, woo, hoo, hoo. I'm just so excited. I'm just like, wow, man, I didn't even know what was going on. And and then all of a sudden, it had been like 45 minutes, and everything went into slow motion. And I dropped from a super high to a whoom. And I mean, when it dropped, it dropped. It was just like, ah, boom. Now, you got to understand, I'm on a cruise, and the ship's going I'm trying to walk down the hallway, and people are thinking I'm drunk. And I'm thinking, God, they don't know I'm a pastor. And it just seemed like slow motion. Because all of that sugar high just went boom. David has finished a battle. They've fought to the place where they literally have to pry their fingers from the sword. They probably need stitches from cuts. The ache and the pain now is settling in. No longer are they dealing with the adrenaline high of battle. They're not under the pressure of life at any moment can be taken. They've just come out of this. As they come over the hillside, coming into Ziklag, where their family lives, they see the billowing smoke, and their hearts begin to drop to find out that in their home, everything is gone. They actually don't know. They don't see any bodies laying there, but all they know is that everybody's gone. And these people who've taken them, what are they doing to our family? They've taken them captive. They literally are not. They're not benevolent. So something bad has happened. And now the first thing they do, rather than, because they've used all their energy up, they are in crisis mode. I mean, literally in crisis mode. There's nothing left. They begin to weep, and they weep until they have no more strength. It's like receiving the worst news you can receive over and over and over. To the point now where you're just saying, my God, I can't. And in the midst of all this, if that's not bad enough, all of these mighty men that have stood with David, that have been just a few moments before that heralding him, saying, David, you are one incredible general. Man, you are awesome. You are phenomenal. Watch how fickle people can be. One instant, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You've helped us. You've walked us through some stuff. Man, you have made it available to us. You are the best thing. And now those who have been with you, who have fought the enemy by your side, now have decided that you are the enemy. And you overhear them saying, let's kill him. We got a little bit of strength left. Let's lose it. Let's use it to kill David. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed because the people wanted to stone him. Has anybody ever overheard somebody saying they wanted to stone you? I just don't know what that's like. I can't really picture that. I can't really imagine people standing around saying, I want to stone him. Now, I can imagine people saying, I'm angry with you. I wish God would strike you dead. I mean, just whatever, you know. But they're saying, I want to kill you. I want to stone you to death. He was greatly distressed. Duh. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Father, speak to us now. Crisis is generally the reason behind the feelings of wanting to give up. Crisis is huge. If you want to know what crisis is, let me just throw this at you. According to Random House College Dictionary, crisis is a stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events is determined. Let me say it again. It's a stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events is determined. It's not just one event. It's not just one attack. It's not just one issue. It's not just one bad report. It's not just one car that's broke down. It's all the cars have broke down. I've heard about this. It's not just one event that has taken all the money out of your account. It's not just one diagnosis. It's diagnosis after diagnosis. And the cure has now caused the diagnosis to feel even worse. Hello? It is a sequence of events in life that you think, well, I can get, if I can just get to next week, if I can just get past this moment. And I want to tell you something. If you perpetually live in, my God, if I could just get past today, sooner or later, now your body produces adrenaline in the natural. Your body produces hormones to get you through difficult moments. But if you live in that over prolonged periods of time, at some point your body begins to rebel. How many have ever noticed that when you go on vacation, you've gotten sick or are really tired? Is it, you ever seen that happen? It's as if your body is saying, okay, now I have permission to relax, and it just goes, I'm wiped out. You only get on vacation to find out I'm too tired to do anything. I'm too tired to even do anything because I'm so exhausted. So what is crisis? Crisis is a stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events is determined. Now, in David's case, David pulled a fast one by encouraging himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something. The last thing you feel like doing when you're in crisis mode is encouraging yourself in the Lord. Last thing you feel like doing is saying, man, it's going to get better from here. It's going to be all right. Because you've been saying that to yourself for so long that now all of a sudden you're just like, whew, I can't take this anymore. Man, this is crisis mode. But David somehow summoned the strength that only comes from the very reservoir of the well of salvation. There is a well, an artesian well, that crisis caps sometimes. And we got to reach down into that place and let the artesian well of God's Spirit begin to well up within us and begin to spew forth. And what happens is we are reminded, I don't have strength, but I know the one who does. I'm not big enough to handle this problem, but I know the one that's big enough. I don't have enough money to pay this bill, but I know the one who does. I don't have enough stamina to get through this moment. I don't even know where to turn. In David's case, I don't know which way to run. Should I run after my enemy to the north, the south, the east, or the west? Which way did they go? What happened here? He consults the Lord, and the Lord speaks a powerful word to him. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. We're not a mess because we have difficulties in our life. Everybody does. In everybody's life, there's crisis. In every generation, enemies rise up. In every civilization, in every culture, there are moments that hang in the balance, waiting for the Davids to arise. I'm declaring in this room that there are Davids, there are Esthers, there are Josephs, there are Daniels, there are people in this room that nobody knows about, that God is calling and crying out to, and they may never know about you, but God does. As an intercessor, you shift into an intercessory role. You shift into a place in the midst of transition, and you begin to cry out to God. Why is God crying out to you? Why is God bringing you into such travail? Because he is looking for David. He's looking for his beloved, and in the midst of your travail, he will show up with his intimacy. He will show up and hold you and hug you and surround you. He'll come so close because the Bible says he is close to the brokenhearted. Woo, come on, baby. He is close to the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. Crisis is generally the reason behind feelings of wanting to give up. Christ is the natural result of unanticipated change. Crisis is the natural result of unanticipated change. Something I didn't expect. Something I didn't see coming. I didn't see that one. That one wasn't, I opened my eyes, but I didn't see it. I didn't see that coming. David had to be going, I didn't see that coming. I did not see that. So why would God allow this to happen at this juncture, at this point? That is the question. Why now, God? Why at this point? Well, the reality is it really doesn't matter why, but the reality is in the end, David comes back with more spoils than even before. In the Chinese language, you've heard this before, but the word for crisis also is the word for opportunity. The greater the crisis, the greater the opportunity. The bigger the challenge, the bigger the reward. Little challenges, little rewards. Big challenges, big rewards. I'm here to tell you tonight, if your crisis is little, then thank God that it's little. But also, if you're in the midst of a big crisis, then thank God for the big reward that's imminent in your life. It's coming your way. God can trust you. David is in the time of testing because he's going to become king, and an enemy here or there is one thing. He's got to be able to learn how to trust God through the biggest warfares of life. You've got to begin to trust God. If the little trivial things that come at us, the little distractions, the little things that people say around us that sound like they want to stone us, little hardships, if they cause you to fold, wait to see what's going to happen when you step into the role that you were anointed for 15 years ago, David. If you can't handle this one, you can't handle the truth. If you can't handle this one, there's no way you'll be able to handle what God has prepared for you to step into. And he's far too gracious to put you under the pressure of 300 pounds of pressure when you can't bench press 100 pounds. So he begins the process. David, you can handle a little more pressure. David, you can move from 100 pounds to 125. Come on, buddy, you can do it. Press it, press it, press it. And through the pressing of that, there is the atrophy of muscles, the breaking down of muscles for the purpose of building up. God doesn't want to just build up your physical muscles. He wants to build up this muscle and this muscle so that your brain and your tongue and your heart begin to speak the things of God. What did David do that changed the transition he was in? He was transitioning. He was making a shift. He didn't know it. Some of you in this room, you don't realize it. I hate where I'm at right now. That's okay. But watch this. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Because this crisis is about to produce opportunity. Fiscal, financial, all kinds of opportunities are coming your way. The crisis we face, both individually and corporately, can lead us to a better life. Crisis is normal to life. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm not saying that we like it. I'm just saying it is what it is, what it is. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's what he said. Oh, no, we got saved. I get that. He said, perilous times are coming. Difficult, dangerous times, tumultuous times are coming. They are. But they're out here. You understand? It's out here. It's not in here. If it gets in here, there's a problem. If it gets in here, there's a problem. If it gets in here, there's a problem. You understand? If it gets in your heart, you're going to have a problem. If it gets in your head, you're going to have a problem. If it gets on your tongue, you're going to have a problem. But as long as it's out here, Dad used to say this. He said, there's a person alongside and a presence within. How'd you say it, Dad? You said, I don't fail because of pressure on the inside, because there's a person alongside and a pressure on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. A presence on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. Whew. There's this presence on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. And David understood this. David recognized this. And so in the midst of crisis, God begins to build character in us. And character then undergirds talent. Character undergirds skill. Character undergirds our, you know, it's funny for me because now at this level, I've been married now 25 years, but I've been in ministry here at Cathedral of Life for 26 years. But I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I preached my first message when I was 13, and then I started developing that. I worked at another church as a youth pastor, music minister in Tulsa. I also led worship for one of the largest churches there when I was there as a student at ORU. But I would never have been able to lead worship at one of those large churches if it, by the time that I was 9 years old and 11 years old and 12 years old, my dad, I remember he used to, one time, I was about 11 years old, maybe it was, he called me out and he said, he's on the phone and he says, go out there and lead a song. I said, what? I'm just walking through the office. And he says, go out there and lead a song. Sunday school. He had a big Sunday school class. And he said, I got to take this call. He said, go out there and lead a song. I'm like, what song? He goes, whatever song you think of, just go out there and lead a song. And I'm like, me? Are you kidding? I was like, okay. So I walk out and I lead this song. And no kidding, I sang it 27 times. Because I didn't know what else to do, and I kept looking over towards the office. And I literally could see the door open, and he's in there still on the phone. Somebody's in crisis, and he's praying for them. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Would you get him out here, God, please? Holy Spirit, you know, 27 times I sing this. I promise you, the next time he said, I need you to go out there, I had two courses. I thought, I'm going to have two, you know. But as you go along in life, you begin to, you know, there was a time in my life, if you asked me to get up and speak, that I would be spending hours and hours and hours, not just praying and researching and getting the mind of the Lord, but hours and hours of fretting and wondering, and is this the right thing, or is this something, you know, whatever, and then getting up, having put together all this material, thinking, man, this is hours of material, only to finish it within 3 minutes. And then think, oh, God, now what? Yeah, yes, either swim or sink, baby. Yeah. But see, at this point, people ask me now, they say, well, are you nervous when it's time to get up and speak? No, I'm not nervous when I get up and speak now. Now I just want to know that whatever it is, because now I'm thinking differently than I used to think. I used to think, man, I want to speak something that's just, you know, impressive, that people feel like, you know, it's good. No. I realize that there is a finite number of times that I'm going to get to speak in this life now. When you're young, you don't think that way. You just think, well, I'm going to be, you know, whatever, you know. Now I'm thinking, man, there's a finite number. I want to impart what I can impart while I can impart it. I want to say it as good as I can say it, impress it as well as I can say it so that people get it. But I also don't want to just run out there and rush around and say something that's just whatever. I want to find the flow of the Holy Ghost and do what God is saying in that instant, in that moment. Because there are some crisis moments where I could give you a real nice, entertaining, God bless you, wonderful message. You're so good. God loves you so much. You're so precious to Jesus. Oh, you're good. Hope you feel better about yourself tonight. Woo! Only if you don't make some adjustments, you're not going to feel better about yourself. I could even say to you, woo, I'm so sorry you're in crisis, but God just loves you. You just go forth. Be successful. And unless you hear the word of the Lord, because it wasn't enough to encourage himself in the Lord, then David had to hear the voice of the Lord. Then he had to do what God said do. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. And you know, there were some guys that were so wiped out, they couldn't even go. They couldn't even get up to go. David said, whoever's going to go with me, you go with me. What a man's man. What a dude. Wow. He hears the word of the Lord, and all of a sudden, he becomes energized once again. Have you ever had where you just felt like you were really down, and somebody walked in the room and started speaking courage and started speaking inspiration and started speaking into your life, and all of a sudden, man, you started like a balloon started getting filled up again. You thought, man, what was wrong with me 10 minutes ago? Why was I so fatalistic 10 minutes ago? because I didn't have the word of the Lord. Interesting. Did you know the day after the battle sometimes is more important than the eve before the battle? I said the day after the battle sometimes is more important than the evening before the battle. Because the day after the battle, you got to come back to reality. You didn't even think you were going to make it through the battle. Now you've made it through, but you've come home. And here's the issue. Okay, so we don't come home to billowing smoke, and we don't come to burned up houses. But we come home sometimes to find out that people are in crisis. Our friends have been in tragic situations. Our friends are broken through life. They've been given diagnosis from the doctor. Our kids are fighting stuff we never faced back in the day. They're dealing with Hollywood's interpretation and definition of what family is and what it's not, and it's a lie. They're dealing with stuff that we've never... The hospitals now, sometimes, somebody was telling me today, they were talking about how they went to the hospital to have something taken care of, and they went through their list of stuff that they asked them, and I know why they did it. I'm not making a judgment. I'm just saying it's wrong thinking. They said to the person that was about to have their, they said, do you take recreational drugs? So the person said, well, what's a recreational drug? I'm thinking ho-hos and Twinkies. Do you take recreational drugs? And they said, well, you know, marijuana, cocaine, you know, heroin. And so the person said, wait. So we now call illegal substance recreational drugs. That's what we call it now. As if to say, well, they said, well, we don't want to offend them. We want them to tell us if they're taking them. We don't want to offend them. So now we're encouraging them by saying it's just a recreational drug. It's how we deal with what we don't want to deal with. Interesting enough, sometimes the day after the battle, after we've actually won one, is when the enemy comes in. Satan, if he can't overcome you by temptation, he'll try to come against you with accusation and intimidation. A few years ago, I had a African-American lady that I was on a trip with Marilyn Hickey with. This lady came up, and she's a really strong intercessor. I wish I still had her number to call her. I mean, she's just a powerful lady of God. She didn't know me from Adam. She'd never been around me whatsoever. And she had just kind of been observing me in the meetings, and we were traveling as a group. I think it was about 120-something people that we were flying on the planes, and we're going from place to place, and we went to China. And she walks up, and she says to me, she says, I had a vision of you last night. I said, yeah? She said, yeah. She said, I saw you standing, and you had been getting beatings after beating after beating, shellacking after shellacking, you just from every direction, both physical assaults, all kinds of issues that have come, people speaking against you, things that were going on. And she said, what I heard the enemy saying was, I don't understand why he doesn't quit. I don't understand why he won't quit. I don't understand why he won't quit. I don't understand why he won't quit. And he would strike, and she said he would say, I don't understand why he won't quit. Because I don't have the luxury of quitting just because somebody else wants me to quit. Until I get new marching orders, I don't have a right to say to God, well, this isn't working, so I'll just do whatever I want to do. And the problem with our society today is we are so fickle and we are so moved by feelings that we do what we want to do based on what we see rather than what we've heard from God. Come on now. We are in crisis mode right now in this country. We are in a battlefield. We are in warfare. We have enemies that want to wipe us out. I'm not trying to be a doomsayer. I'm not trying to be fatalistic. But the reality is there are those in this world that want to destroy our way of living. But they're not bigger than our God. We are in crisis. We need a reality check. We need to realize this thing is real. It's big. It's the reality. But the enemy is standing back looking at us going, I don't understand why they won't quit. I don't get it. I don't know why they won't quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't have the luxury of quitting. Whew. Did you know your decisions will determine your destiny? David had been anointed to be king. Some of you have been anointed for great business aspirations. Some of you have been anointed to do some great ministry things. Some of you have been anointed to be great in outreach, just great as moms and dads and just great workers or whatever. But you're being tested on the job. Somebody wants your job. Somebody wants you out. Somebody wants to take over where you're at. David, even though he had been anointed to be king, he could have made a decision, I quit. And God would have picked somebody else. But David didn't have the luxury of quitting, and neither do you. Yeah, you've had some stuff come against you. Boo-hoo. Go ahead. We're going to cry about it. We're going to do like David. We're going to cry till we can't cry anymore. We're going to get down on our knees and cry till we have no more strength. We're going to cry until we can't take it anymore. It's okay to cry. God loves the tears. I'm not saying don't cry. I'm not saying be a man and go into denial and act like it's not real. Know that it's real. Have a reality check. Get your cry on. When your cry is over, get up and say, in the name of the Lord, I'm coming out of this, and everything the enemy stole from me, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I don't have the luxury of quitting. You don't have the luxury of quitting. And the reason why is because there's a place God wants to take you next that is determined by your decisions now. And the place He takes you next is not for you. It's for everybody that He wants to encourage and bring up to that level. It wasn't just that God wanted to make David a giant slayer. He had a whole lot of other people who wanted to be giant slayers, who thought they would love to do that, but they didn't know it was possible until David did it. There are people waiting to see how you come through this crisis to determine if they can slay a giant. Come on now. Somebody's waiting to see if you can come through this thing. Sometimes prayerlessness is a form of hiding. What's that have to do with anything? Why'd you say that, Pastor? Because a lot of stuff we're calling prayer isn't really prayer. It's woe is me. It's repeating the devil. It's saying what he said about us. It's not really praying. But when you begin to enter into the place of speaking what God is speaking, as David did, who encouraged himself in the Lord, you've gotten over your boo-hoo season. Whiner. Boo-hoo. Get over it. And I understand there are sometimes you just can't get over it. Sometimes you're still fighting it in your body while you know you've got it. You've got a victory in your head and in your heart. I get all that. I'm not trying to beat up on you for where you're feeling your pain. I'm just saying that nobody can make the decision for you. Sometimes we're hoping somebody else will pray for us, and God's saying, I'm looking for some prayer warriors. David, intercede, because ain't nobody else interceding for you right now. I know that's not plain English, you know, but not good English. Ain't nobody. Ain't nobody else doing it for you, David. Get on your knees and hear from me. You know, a lot of people stay in crisis because of their impatience with God. God, if you're not going to do it now, oh, you didn't have to go there, did you, Pastor? God, if you don't do it on my time schedule, if you don't do it right now, if you don't do it when I say do it, then you may not be going to, I'm not going to give you the chance of blessing me. If you don't bless me when I want to, I'm not going to let you bless me right now. Really? That's like a flea trying to turn an elephant. We're always in the process of exiting and entering, entering and exiting. We're always in the process of moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. We're always walking out of something but walking into something else. It's a success when you finish school and you graduate from high school, and man, you've been the person that you're the valedictorian, and everybody knows that you're the best student, and you're the best dressed, and you're the best at drama, and you're the best at speech, and you're the best on the football team, and you're all of that. And man, this is so great. You've done great on the basketball team, and you've done great on the whatever team, all of the stuff. I mean, you are just, you're that. You're the first player in the band. Wow. Transition. Shifting now. I'm so excited. I'm going to college. This is great. Can't wait. Everybody's giving you gifts, laying hands on you, saying you've got a great future ahead of you. You are awesome. You are something great. And the next day you walk into college and you are a little fish in a big pond, and you're looking around like a scaredy cat going, where's my class? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. You were the A student there, and now you're faced off with pressure you've never been faced off with before. So when you transition into a new place, new levels, new devils, new challenges bring on new things. And you know what? That's okay. Crisis has the ability to bring pressure that causes you to rise above your own ability. God is taking your capacity to another level. Wow. So stop crying about what you can't change. Hear the voice of God, give him what you can't change, and then do what you can to change what you can change. Amen? I think that's good. Is that good? Is that good? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak prophetically over people in this room right now, people that are fighting to survive, sometimes fighting to breathe, sometimes fighting to get up out of bed, sometimes fighting to believe that things are going to get better, that our children and our children's children and things are going to be okay for those who come after us. God, you're too good to have run out of the best of your resources. Come on now. God, you're too good to have run out of the best of your resources. And the principle of the scripture, Lord, you said that you've saved the best wine for last. And so I decree, in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of overwhelming odds, in the midst of difficulty like we've never faced in my lifetime, your best is yet to come. Whew. You've got new wine, fresh wine. You saved the best for last. Because you're the God of the odds. And so I decree to every person in this room right now, you are more than you think you are. You are greater than you even realize. The God who is in you is going to sustain you and maintain you. The God who is in you is going to be more than enough to face off with challenges. And instead of crying when we hear there's a challenge, we say, God, thank you. This is a setup. This is a setup. This is a setup. This is a setup. And when we hear that people have been speaking against us and decreeing things against us, we realize, Father God, those are springboards to greater heights and greater places in you. Because the enemy would never say something about us that's not true if he wasn't afraid of us. If he wasn't afraid of our potential, we don't have the luxury of giving up. Whew. Anybody in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed, you just felt like you've had some moments where you just felt like giving up. God says, I love you. I'm going to walk you through this. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You belong to me. You are mine, says the Lord, and I take care of what belongs to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray with me now, Heavenly Father. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, the Survivor, the Fighter, the champion. I come to you in your name.
Come to you in your name.
And I thank you.
Thank you.
For giving me, a spirit.
A spirit.
That refuses. To give up.
To give up.
I may have my moments. I may have some reality checks.
May have some reality checks.
But I will always come back.
But I will always
to the truth.
To truth.
That you are my God.
You are my God.
And you are faithful.
Thank you for joining us today. Successful Living is brought to you by Cathedral of Life. From the cradle to the coronation, an intercultural ministry to all people. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. We are conveniently located just a mile south of Westfield Belden Village Mall at the corner of Whipple and 38th Street. To order this message in its entirety, call us at 330-493-LIFE. Join us again next time for Successful Living. Experience the life.